Well, amen. I'm just excited again today to share with you from the scripture today as we've had a time of worshiping the Lord, and we're going to be in the book of Philippians. We're continuing our time and study there. Last week we finished up, we had taken 2 weeks to look at chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, and talked about thankfulness and praying and how they're tied together. And I left you with the challenge of praying every day, verses 9 through 11. And I hope you've taken up that challenge, and I hope that you will continue. I pray that that just becomes a part of the fabric of your prayer life, of your routine, of finding truth and prayers like that within the scripture, and praying those for your church family. And so if you have a copy of the scripture, whether you turn it on or open it up, will you turn to the book of Philippians? And we are going to begin in chapter 1 today, and we are going to be looking at verses 12 through 18. 12 through 18. And if you'll remember, Paul had been to Philippi. He planted this church. He reached believers. This church began. He has left. They have sent money and friends to go and check on Paul, this church of Philippi had, and now he is writing back to them this letter of encouragement and this letter with the theme of joy. And as we're walking through chapter 1, every chapter has a little bit of a different emphasis on joy, but chapter 1 is the expectation of joy, or we've said joy expected. And so I want to preach to you a message that I have titled Gospel Advancement. And we are going to read from Philippians chapter 1, and we are going to begin in verse 12. So I hope you'll follow along with me as I read. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest of my chains, that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. This I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you for your word, and thank you for the richness of your word. God, I thank you for this section of scriptures. We talk about the advancement of the gospel. God, I pray that you would hide me behind your cross, fill me with your spirit. God, we have invited you, Holy Spirit, to flood this place. I pray that is true of this time. I pray it is true in this place as well as wherever this stream is being broadcast. That Spirit of God, you would work and move in this moment. And I pray and ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we talk about the advancement of the gospel, we're going to dig into verses 12 through 18 and have some main key ideas that we're going to focus on. But if you're taking notes or following along, the main idea of the text is this, is that God wants the gospel to advance no matter life's circumstances. Regardless of what's happening in our life, God's desire is that the gospel advance. And I believe that God uses those circumstances and works through those circumstances, not just in spite of, but works beyond them to advance the gospel. And we're going to look at that from the text today. And so the question of the text is this, is how are you viewing your life circumstances? What's your perspective of what you're going through right now? There's a multitude, as many people from all over our community and all over our region and maybe beyond tune in and listen today as you're following along and just trying to hear from the Word of God today. I realize there's all sorts of issues and life circumstances. There's a variety of things that are happening. And so you and I need to think about what's our view of those things? How are they impacting us? How does that play a part in our lives? And so there are two main ideas or two key ideas that I want us to dig into a little bit, and we've got a few sub-points within that. So number one, I want you to see from the text is that rejoice in gospel advancement regardless of life circumstances. We're going to look at how Paul's life circumstances are very difficult, but I want you to see and understand how he views those and what a difference that makes. And so under that idea that regardless of life circumstances, there are two sub-ideas within that, two parts of this I want to highlight. A, life circumstances actually give us a platform. Life circumstances give us a platform. And so notice the text in verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, okay, so now a transition has happened. Remember, he has written to them and greeted them in verses 1 and 2. And then in verses 3 through 11, he has talked about thankfulness for their partnership in the gospel. Then he has talked about how he's praying that they will grow in love and in knowledge, in discernment, that they will approve the things that are excellent, that they will live a worthy life of the gospel, that they will produce fruit. And now he has made a transition, and this is a common transition for Paul's day, how he's getting to the heart of some things he wants to talk to them about and things he wants to make them aware. Because remember, he is in prison, and we're going to see a little bit of that here. And they have sent one of their own not only to give a gift to him, but also to check on him. And so he says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me, look at this, have actually turned out for the furtherance or the advancement of the gospel. So that it became evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. So here's the reality. Paul is locked up. He has been imprisoned for his faith. We see this in the book of Acts happen more than once to Paul and the other apostles. The church has sent to check on him. Now he is writing back saying, hey, I need you to know some things. And what does he tell them? He says, these things have actually turned for the advancement of the gospel. So exactly what they were trying to do is to harness Paul, to lock him down, so he would not go and preach this gospel message. Paul says, ha! It hasn't stopped the message. Actually, it has raised the platform, and it has allowed the gospel to go further for a furtherance of the gospel message. And he says, not only that has become evident to the whole palace guard, so everybody that's involved with his imprisonment, but also to the rest, and look, that my chains are in Christ. He has senses an identity with Christ at a deeper level because of these adverse, these difficult, these very hard circumstances. And church family, we need to be careful. Because I believe sometimes, especially in our comfortable culture, when we come across some circumstances that we deem really difficult, and then we hang our head and we drag our feet and we get down in the mouth thinking, man, just life is terrible and it's hard. And now hear me, understand this. I realize some of you are facing some really difficult circumstances. We are in a very strange difficult time. People are losing their jobs. People are struggling with depression. Divorce rate is up. Gambling is up. Alcohol addiction is up. I realize that. I don't want to negate that. But for some of us, for many of us, we're not facing some of those things. For some of us, we're looking around and going, oh man, I've got to wear a mask into the store now, or I've got to get my temperature checked before I go into this building, or I've got to be a little more conscious about where I stand, and just thinking about how difficult life is, and we're consumed by the obstacles rather than seeing it as an opportunity, as a bigger platform to prepare or to advance the gospel. Here's Paul. If Paul can find himself in prison, surrounded by people who don't want him to do what God called him to do, and he's saying, look, don't worry about me, friends. As a matter of fact, it is proving to be a furtherance. It's proving to be a good thing for the sake of the gospel. He doesn't talk about himself. He doesn't say that he loves it. He doesn't say that he's actually sleeping better in prison or he's eating better in prison. He doesn't look inward whatsoever throughout this entire passage. And I think that's really important to our outlook, to the way we view our life circumstances, is we got to think, how is God using this? What is he using it for in my life? And how can God use it to advance the gospel for his glory and for his kingdom? Listen, church, if we were to rewind 10 years ago and interview me sitting in a seminary classroom when everything is really easy, decisions are really easy, and I'll be honest, I was a whole lot smarter then, I think, because I seemed to have an answer for everything. And you gave me a scenario where the government asked you not to meet together and in church and asked you to do all these different things, and I would have had a really smart aleck answer, I'm sure, and had, man, you need to do this and this and this and all these sorts of things and push back. Never would have dreamed we would have gone through the last 2 months the way that we have. But church family, I wonder how many of us are guilty at trying to push the pause button and go, let's just survive this season so we can get back to what is familiar, what we know, what once was. And all the while, I wonder what God is trying to teach us. If God doesn't have us looking at Philippians 1, 12 through 18, going saying, hey, look, this season of your life, it's not, listen to me, this is good. I'm glad you showed up for this. This season in your life is not just a season to survive. Christian, we've got so much more. Getting through life is not just about surviving, but it's about advancing the gospel using the tools and resources and moment that God has for us to advance the gospel, to tell a lost and dying world that Jesus saves. And so, Philippians 3, Paul talks a little bit more about this, and we'll dig into this text when time comes, but it was too good, it ties into this. Verse 7, but the things that were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but count them as rubbish. Why? That I may gain Christ. And being found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. I don't want to spend too much time and preach this text too much right now, but too many of us want the power of His resurrection without the fellowship of His suffering. The American church wants the power of the resurrection without the fellowship of its suffering. being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul saw his circumstances as an opportunity, as a platform that the gospel was being advanced. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 15, Paul says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed and not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." Paul's saying, look, we've been through all this for the sake of the advancement of the gospel to you. He's writing to the church at Corinth. Church family, I wonder in 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years, we're able to look down the road and go, hey, this church or that church, you are here. You are experiencing the grace of God because we went through a season of difficulty and we didn't look at it like, oh, poor, pitiful me, but rather, what is God teaching me? What is God wanting me to do in this season? How can we take the gospel on this larger platform? I want to tell you about, even this past week, we concluded our services. I was on the way home after, we come and host, do all the things for Sunday. Everything's happening, and I was on the way home, and I got home on Sunday and looked at my email, and I had an email of a response of a lady who had watched our Sunday service, and she had prayed and given her heart to Jesus. And after a few of us have visited with her this week, got some really difficult circumstances. Struggling, husband has cancer, going through a really difficult season. Dear friend, I wonder how grateful she is that in spite of and working through a COVID-19 season, Second Baptist Church is broadcasting their services online and in a way that she could watch and hear what Jesus has done for her. Now listen to me. I'm not saying I want this season to continue forever by any means in terms of nobody's in the building and I'm trying to stare into the eye of a camera to connect. But I'm just saying, instead of us just kind of sitting on our heels waiting for this to pass us by so we can get on with life, we need to think about this is a really good platform and how can we use it. You need to think about your individual life where God has you. You may not be able to go and do like you once did, and it may be a time to step back and go, hey, let's prioritize, let's get everything on the table and figure out what stays and maybe what needs to go. We need to figure out this portion of our life, that it is a platform for the advancement of the gospel. So life circumstances provide a platform, but life circumstances being also propels others. Life circumstances propel others. Look at what he says in verse 14. So remember, he says that this actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. It became evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest. Listen to what he says. "And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So what's happening? Paul is there in prison. He is continuing to be bold with the gospel. He's sitting around, undoubtedly, this is at least what I believe, and I need to be careful here to make that clear, that the scripture doesn't specify this, but I think what's happening is Paul going, look, if you're going to chain me up, because often they were chained to someone or chained next to someone, he's saying, look, that joker can't get away. I'm going to tell him about Jesus. And oh, by the way, as I'm telling the guards, I'm telling everybody I see, I'm telling them why I'm preaching the name of Jesus. And so, man, this gospel is spreading. And you know what's happening? Brothers and sisters are sitting back. Fellow laborers of the gospel, maybe even some of the apostles are sitting back going, man, being in prison isn't so bad after all, because look at what's happening. If the worst that can happen is that I get a larger platform, I get arrested and get a larger platform, that I'll be able to declare the gospel of Jesus and more people hear and more people know of what Jesus did for them, then there's a boldness that raises up and go, man, what is there to fear? And that's what happens here. Listen to me really closely. There's something powerful when a believer takes those circumstances of their life and decides they're not going to be a season to survive. It's not going to be a phase to get through. But rather, in this moment, I'm going to glorify God. In this moment, I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus and be faithful. That inspires others, right? I mean, listen, that's what the movies are made of. That's what inspires you. That's the testimonies. That's the YouTube videos that you share on social media, is where somebody's been faced with adversity. They've been faithful to the mission or the heart that they believe in, and there's some great result that happens, and that's what we ought to do, friends. That's what we got to think about, is how we view our life circumstances and stop going, poor, pitiful me, but rather, what is it God wants to do? Let me be faithful to His mission, and then be faithful to the Lord Jesus. And as you are, somebody who's going through that circumstance, somebody who's in that season of life going, hey, you know what? Maybe if God will do that in their life, maybe He'll do it in mine. And he says it's actually encourage them. 2 Corinthians 1:4-7, and who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Listen, nobody typically signs up for heartbreak and pain and those sorts of things. But as God ministers to you through that, know this. As you seek the Lord and you pursue God through that, He's going to bring people into your life going, man, I've got this same pain and struggle. And you can say, hey, let me just share with you what God did in my life and how God used this. He continues in verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abound through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering with which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will be partakers of the consolation. There's a sweet promise, as we're faithful to the Lord Jesus. Colossians 1:24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the affliction of Christ. Look, for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed. Then notice this, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. You've got to understand that as you have these circumstances going on in your life, we've got to see it as a platform to serve God faithfully and to use it for His kingdom. And then as you do that and you're faithful to the Lord, God will work in and through your life. It may not mean that all the circumstances go away. Just because Paul wrote this letter didn't mean he got out of prison. And it didn't mean that he didn't go to prison again. And he doesn't give his life for the gospel, because he does. But what he says is, because of these chains, because of these things, I'm able to work and do and share the gospel with people that they might not have had another opportunity to. So it depends on how we see these circumstances. And by the way, I started looking at illustrations of these kinds of things that have happened through the history of the church. I couldn't pick out just one, because from this time to even to today, the persecuted churches, every single time you mark it down, that persecution is ramped up, the gospel and the church flourishes. Every single time. Right now, in some of the most difficult countries in the world, the gospel is flourishing. Because life circumstances give platform to hear a gospel message, and it encourages other believers as God works in and through that. Number two. Rejoice in a gospel advancement regardless of accolades. Regardless of accolades. We're going to talk about, Paul is talking about, some have begun to preach for good and for evil. There's two parts to this. Is A, we don't monopolize the message. We don't monopolize the message. I want to unpack this a little bit. Look at verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ. Okay? Even from envy and strife and stone, also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. Now, I want to preface all of this by saying we're going to land the plane at verse 18, where we talk about Paul rejoicing in this. And this is really important, because Paul is actually, he doesn't turn to condemn these individuals. So that's important, because I believe that these individuals were preaching a true gospel. We're not talking about false prophets or false preachers or false teachers. We're talking about teachers who are preaching a true biblical gospel. However, they have this one group of people that he refers to have selfish and evil intentions, or motivations rather. They're seeing Paul, he's in chains, and there he is, and I don't know what their motivation was, but it seems to me that they likely might have looked around and go, well, you know, a lot of people have been paying attention to Paul. Now's my time to capitalize on it. Now's my time to create a following. Now's my time to go and plant churches. And they're doing it almost as a snub at Paul, saying, ha ha, don't you wish you could do this? But they're going and they are preaching a true gospel, and that is really important. But church family, listen to me clearly. Even for those that are doing it out of wrong motives, we don't have the corner market on the gospel. As a pastor, I don't have the corner market on the gospel. As a church, we don't have the gospel monopolized. We are not the only church in this neighborhood or in this community that is teaching a clear, biblical, authentic gospel. I am Southern Baptist through and through. I love the Southern Baptist Convention and the things that we do together. But let me be really clearly, Southern Baptists are not the only ones that have a clear gospel message. I know some of you that doesn't sit well maybe. But it's true, it's honest. I've got friends, I've got brothers, fellow laborers in the gospel who are not Southern Baptist, who are not in our neighborhood or are in our neighborhood or not in our church or in different churches, that, man, they are preaching a true biblical gospel. And I'm not accusing them of having evil motives or any of that kind of thing. I'm just saying, we don't have a monopoly on this. And that means we need to lock arms. We need to work together. We need to rejoice that we are not the only gospel message in Russellville, in the state of Arkansas, across the world. We need to get over ourselves and see that the gospel advances regardless of people putting our name in lights or not. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor in handling the word of God deceitfully, but manifestation of the truth, condemning ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Listen, it is for the will and purposes of God for Him to decipher who's got the right motives and the right ambition. I don't know somebody's heart. All I know is if they're going to preach a true biblical gospel, I'm for that. And if they're doing it out of ill will or they're doing it out of ill gain or whatever it is, that's for the Lord Jesus to figure out and to handle. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 25, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Our responsibility is to take the platforms that God has given us through life circumstances and use it for the glory of God. It will encourage others and understand there's going to be other people standing on other platforms, and they may be bigger platforms than ours, that are preaching the gospel, and we need to rejoice in that. And then B, we did not create the message. We didn't create it. Look at verse 17 and 18. So he says, the former were out of selfish ambition and not sincere. Verse 17, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed, that's a key word, for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. What does he say? He says, look, I've been appointed to this. What's he mean? God entrusted him with the gospel. Paul didn't make it up. Paul didn't create this in and of himself, but rather God appointed him. God entrusted him with this message. And God entrusted him, he can entrust others. And you and I have got to understand that other people are out there preaching the gospel, and he's saying some are using it to jab at me out of evil will, self-ambition, but others out of love and good fortune. Those are the ones that are being encouraged, saying, hey, look at what's happening with Paul. Man, I'm excited about that. Now I want to go and preach the gospel. I want to advance this gospel that Paul is willing to give his life for. And they're locking arms, even though Paul is in prison, saying, hey, let's make much of Jesus. And Paul is there as their number one cheerleader, pressing and excited about what they're doing. And we need to celebrate diversity in the proclamation of the gospel. Some of these guys surely were doing it differently than Paul had. Let me get really personal and get all up in your Kool-Aid for a moment. Some of you get upset and get worked up when you see a church, or maybe even our church, or maybe me, doing it a little differently than what maybe you grew up with or you grew accustomed to. And I'll be honest, sometimes I see other churches do things, and at first I kind of, and there are some things I see churches do, go, hey man, I applaud your effort, I wouldn't do it that way. I don't think that's the best way or healthiest way. That's one thing. But we need to be really careful. I think during this season, one thing that COVID-19 has hopefully helped us see us do is strip back some layers of what we believe in and what we hold to and go, what really is important? What really matters? And here's what's hard, church family. We've got to understand this, because as we begin to unfold, to try to come back into the building and try to follow some of the guidelines and some of those things, and as we go forward, and we're sitting here, and quite honestly, we're holding a lot of what we do as a church with very loose hands going, listen, we're never going to let go of the principles of Scripture. We're never going to let go of the message. We're never going to draw back from that. We are going to preach Jesus and Him crucified. But what does that look like? How does that play out? What should church look like? What should Second Baptist look like? And it's not for the sake of change. It's just going, hey, we've got to understand what is biblical and what is preference. What is biblical and what makes us feel better? What fits our comforts that may actually not be the best in this season or for the foreseeable future? There's undoubtedly people out there that were doing it differently than Paul. And listen again to verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether pretense or in truth, whether ways that he agreed, whether ways it was good or bad, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. We need to be really careful. A lot of churches, including ours, will look different. But friends, if we're coming back to church, coming back to gather together, you're looking around going, man, you know what? They don't sing as many of the lyrics that I like, or as many of the tunes that I like, or he doesn't use the right size Bible, or he uses an electronic device, whatever it is. They have screens rather than hymnals. They have books rather than screens. They have this and they have that. Listen, dear friend, we need to re-examine what really matters and what really is important. The message will never change, but we need to figure out what this looks like so that we can reach more of those like that young lady that responded last weekend. Figure out, not just survive these circumstances, but how is it that God wants to advance the gospel amidst our life? Galatians 1, 6 and 7, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. We're not going to turn away. We're not going to turn back from preaching the unadulterated Word of God, the gospel of Christ. But I can't stand here and say that it doesn't maybe look a little differently than it did 3 or 4 months ago. That church doesn't maybe look a little bit differently than it did 6 months ago. And to be quite honest with you, if everything in us is going, well, it should, then we maybe need to examine. Should it? Did we have it all right 6 months ago? Maybe we did. I'm not saying we didn't. But did we have it all right? We operate under the assumption that we had it all right. And maybe we did. Maybe we didn't. What does it look like going forward? Paul rejoiced. He had an expectation of joy because of the gospel and its advancement. Now, some of you may be today saying, Brother Chris, I'm struggling tracking what you're saying here and how to deal with life circumstances. It seems overwhelming, seems too much for me, and it may be. But here's what you need to know. Jesus came and lived a sinless, perfect life and died on the cross for me and for you. And maybe you're like this lady who surrendered this past week. You say, I'm just tired. I need something different in my life. I need forgiveness of sin. I need a joy and a peace in my life that I've never experienced before. And you can have that through Christ. You acknowledge that you're a sinner. The Bible says we've all sinned. Every single one of us have committed sin. The wages, the punishment, the penalty for that sin is eternal separation in hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn that salvation. God offers salvation as a free gift to you. He's offered it to me. And the only way we receive that gift is Romans 10:13. And it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right there in your own home, in your car, wherever you're watching from, you can bow your heart and your head and say, God, will you forgive me? I confess I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I've committed sin. God, will you forgive me of that sin? God, will you save me? Will you be the boss of my life? I give myself to you to go and do whatever it is you would have me to do. I want to live for you. I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. You pray right where you're at, and the Bible says God will save you. Pray something like this. Say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart, wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. I give my life to you. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll be what you want me to be. I give myself to you totally and without reservation. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that and you meant it with all your heart, here's what I want you to do. I want you to comment right now in one of the platforms that you're watching on, or go to our website and click that I'm new, and there's an option that says I've received Christ in one of your online services recently. And somebody will be in touch. You can text the number at the top of the screen and say, hey, I prayed to receive Christ, or new Christian, or salvation, or saved. Whatever you want to text, we want to be there to follow up and encourage you with that. Dear Christian, church member, I want you to pray. Rejoice. Thank God for the many different gospel presence in churches across our community. Now, listen to me. Let me clarify something really quickly. There are some churches that I can't align with because they don't preach a clear, true biblical gospel. I want to be clear on that. But there are some who do. And I am grateful for those. I am grateful for their witness. We need to thank God for those. We need to thank God for people taking the gospel all across the world. And we need to pray desperately. God, what is it? How is it you want to use this season in our church to make the gospel go wider and farther and deeper than it ever has? Let's pray. God in heaven, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time. Thank you for each one that tuned in today. I pray you'd speak to their heart. I pray that we would use our circumstances for your glory and your kingdom. I pray we'd be intentional to think about and pray through what is it that you have for us as a church family. God, we love and praise and adore you. We thank you for all things. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. So grateful to be with you today. I pray you have a great week. Thanks for joining us. Love you in the Lord Jesus, and hope to see you soon.